Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert Rick Gunzik.
Hi, this is Rick Gunzik with Mortgages Made Simple. Coming to you with the next show on our podcast, we're going to talk about what information do you need to bring to your loan officer or to your bank when you're getting a new home loan. And joining me today is, once again, my fabulous producer, Douglas Welch. How you doing, Doug?
Hello, Rick. It's great to be back. And I know that I could have really used a checklist to work my way through the mortgage process. It seemed like every day someone was calling for another form, another statement, another piece of information that they needed in order to complete the loan application. So let me get my pen and pencil out or in my notepad and let's get started.
All right, Doug, we're gonna go get right into it. And we will also be posting a checklist on the blog. So if you can't find your pen right now or you're in your car listening, don't fret. It'll be on there for you. There's an old rule of thumb that a lot of loan officers used to say when talking to a borrower, and they'd say, don't forget it's 2, 2, and 2. And what that stood for, Doug, it's real simple. These are the three most important things you do need to bring. And then I'm going to touch on the other things that you do need to bring in to your loan officer, which will help speed along the loan process and hopefully doesn't avoid all those phone calls. Oh, I forgot the so-and-so. So what the 2, 2, and 2 stands for is 2 years of W-2s, two pay stubs. You want to get your last two pay stubs. And also you want to get 2 months of bank statements. And the reason you get 2 months of bank statements is it'll show an average balance. So the 2, 2, and 2 is 2 years W-2s, two pay stubs, and 2 months of bank statements. Now there do come a few. This is mainly for a salaried individual, of course. If you're a self-employed individual, it changes just slightly. What you want to get is 2 years tax returns and 2 months of bank statements. But the main key, though, Doug, there is the 2, 2, and 2 for most borrowers.
Well, that sounds like a simple enough plan.
Oh yeah, it's real simple and it keeps it easy. And then going a little further, what you want to get into is one of the important things is to get a copy of your homeowner's insurance page, because that'll help get your insurance rolling along faster. So a copy of your homeowner's insurance. And then also you'll need a copy of your Social Security card, which will save a lot of trouble in the end, and a copy of your driver's license. Because if you get all this information up front, it'll save a lot of problems when you go to sign your loan documents. Or sometimes, too, when someone's doing a loan, their Social Security number gets dyslexized, we like to say, and the numbers get transposed. So if you have a copy of the card in there, people can run your credit report more accurately, because a lot of times it'll run on the wrong Social Security number, and it pulls up all sorts of wacky credit.
Now, let me ask you just a second here, because we all know about how important our Social Security number is. In your office, do you have methods and procedures for destroying that copy once it's been used for this purpose? Or
yes, we do. We destroy most of the stuff that we get shortly after we use it, which is important because you don't want that stuff floating around. That's another thing to bring up too, Doug. Make sure you do trust who you're talking to when you're getting a loan application, because I know a lot of people, flippantly just give their information to whoever they think is a trusted source. And it's really important that you do trust your loan officer, because you want to make sure you are giving them all this information. And it's so easy to become a loan officer in California and a lot of the other states that almost anybody can become one. So it's important that you do trust them, because they can start a whole new identity with what you're getting them, to be honest with you.
Right. It's kind of a loan application is almost a little identity theft starter kit, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. That's kind of a cute way to say it. Identity theft starter kit. But you're absolutely right. So it is important to trust who you're dealing with, because they can run off and do anything with your information. And fortunately, I haven't heard too many stories of that happening in the mortgage industry, but it certainly is easy to happen, especially now when the mortgage industry is in a slower period. You never know what might happen, you know?
So it seems to make sense then that people applying for loans should ask their mortgage broker or their lender to specify exactly what they do with this information once the loan application itself is complete.
Yeah, another thing that it would be good to ask is what kind of security do they have at night? Because a lot of times when we get a lot of the places we work with, credit companies and such, they do site inspections, and they come out and they'll ask me, where do you keep the files at night? Are they locked file cabinets? who has access to them and information like that. So it's a good thing to say, and just ask them, you know, is their office very secure, or, you know, is every Tom, Dick, and Harry walking through there?
Right. Are the lending applications sitting out on a public area receptionist desks or something like that during the day?
Exactly. Okay, I'm going back to the checklist a little bit, Doug. The other thing a loan officer is going to ask you for is they're going to ask you for a check for the credit report typically. Credit reports have gotten a lot cheaper. These days they used to be $50 and $60. They've gotten down to the $10 to $15 range. But a lot of times they'll ask you for a check for that, so don't be shocked. And sometimes they'll ask you for a check for the appraisal. A lot of times the appraiser will collect the money at the door. The appraiser will collect the money when he comes to do the appraisal. So the mortgage company won't always ask for that check. But don't be alarmed if they do ask you for a check for the credit and or appraisal.
Yeah, I think thinking back, I believe our appraiser, we paid him directly.
Yeah, that's usually the better way to do it. That way you don't have to worry about the mortgage company not paying the appraiser on time or something like that. And it takes one more hand out of the pot just to kind of move things along faster. But as you can see, Doug, there's not too much information you really need to get initially. Now, some things that might come along later as they're processing your loan might be a letter of explanation for some delinquent credit you might have had, or a letter of explanation for, like, let's say you're buying a second home. They might want to know what your motivation is for it. But those things come along later. A sharp loan officer will pick that up when they're interviewing you. But typically, you just need to start with these items we've talked about, and your loan should go right through pretty smoothly.
One last question here, Rick. You mentioned the credit report, and I know these days there's lots of places you can go to receive a free credit report. And I wonder, would that be appropriate for the loan application, or does it have to be run in some different way?
Well, that's a really good question, actually. What you can do is you can present that credit report to your loan officer, but they'll have to run their own credit report to do the actual loan. Because what happens is, if it's not a direct lender, if it's a broker, and we talked about that in earlier shows, the lender will run their own credit report anyway. Just it's a fraud prevention tool, because they want to make sure that the credit report that was given to them wasn't altered in any way. But it is a good place to start, because it can eliminate the fact that the broker's running the credit report, and just the lender will be running the credit report. So that'll help out your FICO scores just a little bit. So that's a good idea, Doug. If you've got one of those, bring it to the, you know, the interview with the loan officer.
Now, Rick, you mentioned copies of various of these documents and things. And I'm wondering, I mean, what type of quality do these copies need to be? Now, it sounds like a silly question, I know. But I just know that often I'm presented with documents that are difficult to read or unclear or smudged or and so on and so forth. And, I mean, I'm assuming something like that can actually slow down the process as well.
Oh, definitely. And that's an excellent question too, Doug. You're full of really good questions today. I don't want to tell you how many times someone will fax over a bank statement to us from their old fax machine they've got in their garage or something, and you just cannot read the thing. That happens pretty often. So the quality of the documents is important. I mean, they've got to be legible. And it just makes better sense, you know, take it to a local copy place, and run a copy of it and just drop it in the mail. You know, people are always so bent up on faxing these days for time, but you know what? The mail system still works pretty good. If you mail something, it's almost there, you know, within a day or two, and they can work off the fax copy if it's not too awful. But it's really important when you do meet them to get an advance. Since you know the checklist now, when you're getting prepared to meet your loan officer, go ahead and go to the local copy place and make copies of all the documents you're going to present to them anyway. And then you could just hand them to them and not worry about the fax quality or degradation of any quality later on. Excellent question.
Great. So let's recap a little bit here. Let me see if I've got my notes correctly that I've been scribbling down here as we talk. Two and two. You need 2 years of W-2s. You need two pay stubs, or if you're self-employed, 2 years of your tax forms. Two bank statements. A copy of your homeowner's insurance, a copy of your social security card, a copy of your driver's license, and a check to pay for the credit reports.
Exactly. And if you bring that stuff to the interview with your loan officer, it should go real smooth. Your loan should be approved 3 to 5 days, and you should be ready to go.
You know what? I'm gonna make a liar of myself. I said one last question, but vaguely I remember that when we were doing our loan, there was a question about bank statements and the fact that most bank statements tend to run 2 to 3 pages these days. And I believe you mentioned an issue regarding the fact that your brokers want to see all pages of a statement. Was that correct?
Excellent question again. Boy, Doug, you're just excellent questions for the listeners out there. Very important point. A lot of times people will give us the first page of the bank statement because they think, well, this shows my average balance. This shows, you know, the money I'm putting in. But they need all the pages because in an underwriter's mindset, if it says page 1 of 5 and you're giving us one page, she's thinking you're hiding something on pages 2 through 5. That's just the nature of the job. They're looking for anything that's trying to, you know, that can help them out to approve the underwriting of the loan. So if it does say something like 1 of 4 on top, make sure you include all 4 pages. And a lot of times, Doug, too, bank statements are printed on both sides. So a lot of times when people run a photocopy of it, they're not thinking because they're in a hurry or something, and they might give us page 1, 3, and 5, and we're missing 2 and 4. So very important, if it says 1 of 5, to include all those pages. Excellent question again, Doug.
Well, Rick, I think this clearly shows that people who are going out there for a loan can make their life and your life or their mortgage broker's life a lot easier merely by having this information compiled and on hand before they ever start the process. So, Rick, we've got another call from a listener about something that I've never heard about, so maybe you can help us out with this.
Hi, my name is Natalie, and I just purchased a house, and I was looking at my final HUD, and it says yield spread. The broker told me he wasn't going to charge me any points, so I'm just wondering what yield spread is and who actually pays for that. Thank you very much.
Ooh, good question, Natalie. Yield spread premium. What that is, it's the money that the bank is going to pay to the broker for giving them that loan. So it doesn't really cost you anything theoretically, although it does give you a higher interest rate. So that's when you're negotiating your points and fees with a lender. That's where if they're going to say it's a no points loan, you're going to have a higher interest rate than if you were to pay points on a loan. That gets into a topic we've talked about before, you know, how many points you want to pay. But basically, the yield spread premium is the money the bank is paying to the broker for giving them that loan to them.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com/show. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com/show. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of WelchRite.com, WelchRite.com.